to John, the 15th chapter. John chapter 15. I want to conclude the series today that we've been teaching on the parable of the sower, the operation of the kingdom of God in the heart of the believer. We've been discussing and teaching about the parable of the sower, talking about the different types of soil. Today we're going to focus on the good ground. We've talked about wayside, stony, thorny. We're going to be looking at good ground. But specifically, I want to start in John 15. What I'm sharing with you now, some 15, 16, 17 years ago now, much of what I'm sharing with you began in my heart. And I don't have time to reiterate, but of course, tapes are available. CDs are available from all the services. If you're watching via our television broadcast, all the information's on the screen. Please avail yourself to that, those resources. I believe they'll help you immensely. Yet I want us to be aware of some things that can help you to be fruitful in God. This is many years ago. I was in a motel room that was rough conditions and really rough. It was I won't go into the details of it. It was half an hour room rates at this motel. Now, if you know anything about what that means, I found out that it was a country church, and they put me into the nearby city, and they found this really reasonable motel where sheets were extra, and that would have been really nothing to deal with, except there were so many things happening in my life at that time. Everything in my life, it felt like, was going south. And I wanted to go north. Have you ever felt have you ever had that happen in your life? And I brought a scripture before the Lord, and I literally was saying to Him, why isn't this working for me? Because I knew somewhere I was missing it. And you know, you have hope that the Lord will come back to you and say something like, you know, son, I never saw it that way. I'll get busy here in a minute and fix it for you. But anytime you ask God a question, He's going to bring to you change in your life. And I want to read from John 15, verse 1. Every time you see the word bear fruit or referring to bearing fruit, I want you to say it out loud with me. We're going to count the times in these 8 verses bearing fruit is mentioned. John 15, verse 1 says this. Jesus spoke. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are clean or pruned because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, throw them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now, in 8 verses, he either directly or indirectly refers to bearing fruit 7 times. So I think it's safe to say the context of John 15 is bearing fruit. Would you agree?
Yes.
Verse 7, he specifies in this context a type of fruit he desires for the believer to bear. And he in verse 8 says that when we bear this fruit, it glorifies God. Verse 7 tells us, if you abide in me. Now the word if is extremely important because it carries with it conditions. If you abide in me, and if my words abide in you. Now look at the next statement. It's almost difficult to believe this next statement can be true. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And in this doing, or by this, my Father's glorified. God is glorified when you live your life in such a place that I am abiding in Christ. His word abides in me. And I'm in the position to ask what I desire, and God does it for me. It's amazing, isn't it? But it's true. Well, someone might say, well, what if what you desire isn't the will of God? Well, then you aren't qualifying for that verse. Because he said his word has to abide in you. You can't ask for anything outside the pale of Scripture. In fact, if you don't know the will of God when you begin to pray, then you're not praying effectively. Petition prayer, that is asking God for something. God has already established His will in His Word.
Amen.
And so when you ask according to the Word of God, you're asking according to the will of God. Yet He said this, there's conditions to getting your prayers answered. Notice Jesus referred to answered prayer as fruit-borne. Bearing fruit. Now, I brought John 15:7 to the Lord. Really, I'm being very candid with you. It was a desperate time in my life. I was moaning and complaining and crying. I was losing sleep, walking the floors, worrying. Anybody ever do that? It'd be 1 a.m. and I'd be up. I called it prayer. But it wasn't prayer. Looking back and after the Lord began to deal with some things in my heart, I just worried and go, oh my God, what am I going to do? God, how can this ever work? I go, what am I going to do? And then I'd quote a scripture and sanctify my worry. And I was trapped. You ever felt trapped? I felt trapped in a condition that in so much of it I had nothing to do with. Yet I found myself there and I thought, now what do I do? And now I'm bringing this scripture before God. In the back of your mind, hoping that He'll speak to your heart and say, boy, you know what, son, I didn't see it that way. Let me get right on that. But, of course, that doesn't happen. In my inward man, I heard like you'd a knowing, I should say. And I knew in here, when I was asking God about John 15:7, in here He was saying to me, you don't qualify. And I have to tell you, that was personally devastating to me. I was in a position, much of the position I was in, was due to a stand for God. And I have to tell you, it was offensive to me. I said, what more do I have to give or do to qualify? Again, thinking that qualifications was some outward thing that I could do. Yet He brought me over to Mark chapter 4, which we've spent now, I guess, almost 2 months on. And He began to deal with me about how to qualify. Go with me, if you would, to Mark, the 4th chapter. And again, the tapes are available for this in its entirety. We certainly don't have the time to reiterate weeks and weeks of teaching. But here in Mark chapter 4, you remember we quoted from Proverbs 4, verse 23, which says this, protect your heart with all diligence or vigilance, for out of your heart flow the issues or the forces of life. The heart of man, the inward man, is from where life springs forth from. And so the scripture tells you, above all that you guard, guard this. Because it's out of the ground of your heart that the seeds of life will grow forth from. So in Mark chapter 4, in verse 1 and 2, the Bible talks about Jesus teaching them things by parables in His doctrine. Then in verse 3, He begins to define what is called the parable of the sower. And the first one in verse 3 talks about, these are they sown by the wayside, where the fowls of the air come and devour up the seed, and it bears no fruit. And then He goes on to stony ground. This is stony ground that has not much depth of earth, so the seed springs up immediately, but because it has no root or depth, when the sun comes up, it withers the plant away, and that plant bears no fruit. And then He said, others still are sown among thorns. And the thorns grow and choke the plant, and it bears no fruit, and it becomes unfruitful. And then He said, others still is sown on good ground, such as hear the word, on good ground, that hear or take the seed, keep it, and it bears fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So Jesus is about to define for them what He calls in verse 11, the secrets of the kingdom of God. In verse 11, He said, I'm about to define and unfold to you the secret of the kingdom. He said, if you understand this secret, in verse 13, in fact, He said, if you don't understand this secret, you won't understand anything about My kingdom. If you're a child of God, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you've passed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom has principles Jesus wants us to live by. In Mark chapter 4, He gives us the very foundational principles of living in the realms of God's kingdom. And He tells us there are four types of ground. He tells us there's a seed to deal with. Then He goes on in verse 14 and defines the parts of the parable. He said the sower is sowing or planting the word. So the seed is what?
The word.
The word of God. And then he goes on to say this, that these are they sown by the wayside. But Satan comes immediately and takes away the word sown in their hearts. So what is the ground? The heart. The seed is the word. The ground is the heart. So he said wayside soil is when Satan comes immediately and takes away the word sown in the heart of that person. Stony soil, he said, was when that person gets offended. Either due to circumstances, due to trials, or due to other people. And he said that person is a person who quits, gives up and faints because of offense. Tests, trials, storms, people saying things or doing things about to you or about you. Offenses. Those affect the ground of the heart, making it stony. People say, why did this happen to me? Well, something's happened because you're in the world. Jesus said, in the world, you'll have what? Trouble or tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, some of our problems are self-imposed. Have you ever had any self-imposed trouble? I have. Now, the fact of it is, a person who lives in offense, it affects the ground of their heart. So how do I know if I live in offense? Check what comes out of your mouth. A person who lives in offense talks about it. Judging other people, talking about other people all the time. Giving their opinion about everybody else. The greatest thing to do with that gift is turn it on yourself. Everyone's praying you will anyway. Offenses. But remember this. If Jesus tells us in Scripture, the Word tells us to protect our heart, and then on the other side of that coin, He then tells us what to protect our heart from, that's fair. If He didn't, it would be unjust. How could God expect me to protect my heart, yet not tell me what to protect it from? So He tells me in Scripture what wayside ground, stony ground, and thorny ground are so I can protect myself. So, well, Pastor John, what if I find myself in one of these positions? Well, welcome to the human race. These things are taught so that we know what to protect ourselves from. That means every last one of us are susceptible to these things. And that's why I said with vigilance, you and I have to protect ourselves lest we fall into these categories. And then he went on to thorny ground. He said, thorny ground is someone that hears the word of God, but the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things enter into the heart, chokes the word or the seed, and it becomes unfruitful. So we find three types of conditions that affect the ground of the heart. Wayside, stony, and thorny, they affect the seed adversely. Let me make a statement that will sound hard to hear and hard for me to even say. The operation of the kingdom of God demands that we understand this truth. God's word doesn't always work. Isn't that hard to even hear? Let me qualify it in a moment. God's word doesn't always work unless planted in right conditions. There are things that extinguish the power of the word of God in the life of the believer and cause us to cease to be able to bear fruit. Well, didn't Jesus say the traditions of men will make my word of no effect? Wayside, stony, and thorny will make me unfruitful, unable to bear fruit in God. No matter how much I read the Bible, no matter how much I know the Bible, no much I quote the Bible, if my heart has been invaded by those conditions and that good ground has been polluted, I will cease to be able to bear fruit. Wayside ground is the first one, and we'll take just a moment and cover that one. Wayside ground is someone who's casual about their relationship with God. They're just casual about it. It's on the surface. It doesn't really make a whole lot of difference to them. The things of God they lightly esteem. Here's a perfect example. If you came to this church or any church for that matter in a building program, and you went and you found out about it and you did this. Oh, man. Another church in a building program? Everywhere I go in this community, someone's got a building program. I need to find a place where I can just consume and do nothing. Oh, man, I don't want, man. In other words, you're saying what God is involved in is irrelevant to you. it's an offense to you that God's kingdom is growing. Now, you know what? Every one of us have to be careful with being indifferent to the things of God. You know, your relationship with God can get just, ugh. You can just kind of just go through the motions after a while, can't you? Yeah. If you've been a Christian any length of time, you've had those seasons where you've had to shake yourself out of that indifference. Has anybody ever experienced that? Sure you have. Well, you had to guard and protect yourself from indifference to God. Stony ground. Anybody ever been offended? Well, Jesus said it's impossible that offenses will come. But it's not impossible. Meaning the offense will come, but you don't have to take offense. Storms and tests of life come to stop you in your tracks, to get you to stop your pursuit of God. And when somebody enters into stony soil, you can always, always locate it by the bitterness of their life. It will come out of here. It's impossible. And if you've been a Christian any length of time, you can look back over your relationship with God and you can find out there were times when you were critical about everything and everybody. Why? Because the ground was tainted. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Every one of us have to struggle over these issues and to make sure we diligently, with vigilance, protect ourselves from falling into it. Thirdly, and this is where I found myself, hook, line, sinker, fisherman in his boots, boat. I was in this ground, thorny soil, up to my eyeballs. I was in the quicksand of thorny soil. Man, you couldn't find me. I was so deep in it. Thorny soil was when the cares or worries of life invade your heart, or the deceitfulness of riches, or the lust of other things. Let me start with, I'll go back to the worries of life because that's where I was. Oh, man, was I there. But the other two, the deceitfulness of wealth and riches, it's not that money's a sin. Money's neutral. It's who has it. The deceitfulness of wealth typically is not committed. That deceit is typically not held by a person who's extremely wealthy. Because a person who's extremely wealthy typically knows what money will and won't do. It's those who are pursuing it that are willing to walk away from their pursuit of God for it. Now, that's between you and God how that happens. Now, the obvious principle you look at is your commitment in the church, in the kingdom of God, your commitment financially to what God tells us to honor Him in. That's obvious. But you know what? How you handle other people's money, we saw in Luke 16, is how, if you can find out the deceitfulness of wealth, how it affects you. If you mishandle other people's money with your bills, if you, for example, run up excessive credit card debt at 20% interest, you have thorny ground in your heart because you are literally mortgaging your future. You are handling and mishandling other people's money. When you use a credit card, that's not your money. It's someone else's money. And so you have to do that with great care. If you don't pay your bills or don't pay them on time, it's a heart condition. It really is. I begrudge having to pay that bill. Why? Nobody forced it upon us. It's a heart condition. Do you see? Has anybody ever had to deal with any of this stuff? All of us have to deal with it. And we are to, with vigilance, protect our heart. And then he said, the lust of other things. What's that? Anything that you and I let in our life that squeezes God out. Hebrews 12 tells us, refers to them in two capacities, weights and sins. Weights that so easily beset us. He said, lay aside the weight and the sin. A weight is something that just hinders you in your walk with God. It's not necessarily wrong. But a sin obviously is a sin. And the Bible said, lay them aside so you can run unencumbered with God. But the first one that was referred to was the worries of life. Oh man, I was lodged there. I was worrying every waking moment. My mind was resting on the issues and the problems and the impossible solutions. And I'd try to think of a solution, and in my mind, I couldn't even think of one. Even a remotest of remote possibility of somehow that situation ever turning out to being able, my life to go forward. And I was consumed in it. And my heart began to be deeply affected, but I didn't know it. You see, because in the thorny soil, something's growing. The thorns are growing. He said the thorns grow up. And Jesus compared the kingdom of God later on by saying, here's what we liken the kingdom to. It's a man casting seed into the ground of his heart. And that seed grows, and it grows to the extent that the fowls of the air can come and lodge under the shadow of your growth. Kingdom living isn't kingdom living until the growth in my life and your life goes beyond the borders of just helping me. Amen. These are the basic principles of kingdom living. Jesus said every one of us need to absorb. And then in verse 20, he went on to talk about good ground. In Mark 4:20, he said, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept and keep it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and 100-fold. What's he saying? All good ground is. Now, if we're not careful, we can start to pray, Lord, make me good ground. No. Remember, Proverbs said, you protect yourself diligently. Protect the ground of your heart diligently with vigilance. For out of it flow the forces of life. With vigilance, he said, protect the ground of your heart. How do I protect my heart with vigilance? I protect it from being wayside, stony, and thorny. By reason of that vigilance and protection, I will maintain good ground. And good ground, the scripture said, keeps the seed long enough for the seed to do its work. Here's the awesome thing about the seed of the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, this Word is an incorruptible seed. It means it is a seed that never, ever can fail. It will always produce what it promised. Inherent in every word from God is power sufficient to bring that word to pass. Yet, if that seed is put in the wrong soil, it will extinguish that power. Did not Jesus tell us that wayside soil, the seed of the word, won't work in it? It won't work in stony, it won't work in thorny. And I just encourage you, as you come into a new year with me, let's commit to protect our hearts diligently, to honor God with absolute vigilance in our heart, to not let these things find a lodging place on the inside of us, for they will desperately affect our fruitfulness. Let's quickly go over to John 15. We're going to close over in John the 15th chapter. John 15. I want to now read verse 7 based and in light of what we have been teaching now for months. And I want you to see how I had disqualified myself. See, many Christians have the mistaken opinion and view that answered prayer is completely on God's side. In other words, I pray and then wait. And if God does something, He does it. If He doesn't, He's God. What can I do? Yes, there is a God side to answered prayer that we have nothing to do with. Yet there's a man's side to it that we have everything to do with. Because you see in John 15 and verse 7, he placed a condition upon answered prayer. And as I found, as God began to reveal to my heart from Mark chapter 4, I began to clearly see that I had disqualified myself in this verse. I don't want to be disqualified in my race, do you? If you run with weights, if you run with sin in your life, you will disqualify yourself. You'll fall short in your race. Oh, and what a waste of life. You've got one time to live. I shared with you, if you'll remember, the interaction between my grandmother and I, as she was very close to heaven in her late 80s, lived to be in her early 90s. She began to rehearse with me a negative situation at her home church in another city. And as she began to talk to me about this negative situation, she stopped in the middle of her sentence. This was, I guess, almost 10 years ago now. And she stopped in the middle of it. And she said, I'm too close to heaven to talk this way. And she changed the subject. And as I spoke to you before, when she said that, a light went on, but it went off as quickly as it went on. And I knew that the Lord was trying to show me something, but I didn't get it. And I told you back in the fall of this year, I was at a funeral for what I believe to be a great, great patriarch in the body of Christ. And as I looked at his body now vacant, his spirit absent, God began to deal with my heart in a way to number my days. And he brought me to the scripture in Psalm, number your days that you might apply your heart. James said it this way, your life, what is it? It's but a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes. One scripture in Psalm says, Lord, show me the brevity of human life. When you reckon that someday, and they aren't many days ahead, that you and I will stand before Christ and give an account. Oh, it's such a purifying effect on the heart. When you reckon that these days are not eternal on the earth, they're limited, they're numbered. They appear for a little while and vanish. You're able then to apply your heart to what's important. The main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. And when you can live in those priorities, oh, the fruit that we will bear as children of God. And the things that won't matter to us that once were so important. In John 15 and verse 7, let's read verse 7 in light of what we've learned. Jesus said, if, everyone say if. He said, if you abide in me. Now, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But then let's get to the next part. And if my words abide in you. Let's stop there for one moment. If my words. Now, what does the Bible refer to the word of God as in Mark 4? A seed. Let's read it that way. And if the seed of my word abides or remains in you. Now, where's the in you? In the heart. Question. Does the seed remain in wayside soil? Stony. Thorny. So would you qualify for John 15:7 if you find yourself living in a thorny condition and staying and perpetuating that condition? Would the seed of the word stay in the good ground of your heart if it's thorny soil? No, because it isn't good ground. Correct? So let's read it that way. If you abide in me, and if the seeds of my word remain in the good ground of your heart not being wayside, stony, and thorny, then you will ask what you will, it will be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Notice that the condition of good ground is a condition that is literally laid before answered prayer. How many of you, I mean, in all honesty, would love to see your prayers answered? I do. Yet if we're not careful, we'll focus on the things we're asking for. And again, Jesus brought us back to the foundation in Matthew 6. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the things will be added to you. Seek for, what's it mean to seek the kingdom? Is that just kind of closing your eyes real tight and thinking of heaven? Seeking the kingdom of God is seeking to have the principles of the operation of the kingdom of God effectively working in my life and your life. Seeking the kingdom is keeping my heart with all vigilance and diligence and refusing indifference when it raises its head. Refusing offense when the opportunity presents itself, and it does. Refusing the thorns of the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. If you abide in me, and if the seed of my word remains in the good ground of your heart, then you will ask what you will. Then it will be done to you. This doing you will glorify your Father as you bear the fruit of petition prayer answered. What honors God? What glorifies God? Three things in John 15:7. That you're abiding in Him, that His words abiding in the good ground of your heart, and that it's placed you in a place of fruitfulness. Getting your prayers answered. All of that glorifies God. Lest you think we've taken this out of context, look at the 16th verse of this same chapter. Verse 16 and 17 talks about what it means to abide in Him, which is the first condition. He goes on to say this. Jesus is speaking. He said, you did not choose me, but I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go and do what? Bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Now look again. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. Again, He connects bearing fruit to answered prayer. And then in verse 17, He tells you how to abide in Christ. And these things I command you, that you love one another. Let's wind this up. Our last few moments this morning on loving one another. That's abiding in Christ. Remember 1 John, who John, you know, the writer of the Gospel of John, wrote the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he wrote by revelation, and John became known as the apostle of love, once known as one of the sons of thunder. Yeah, that's a transition, isn't it? You think Ogle's been through a transition. John was once called a son of thunder. And now he's called the apostle of love. He said this, if you abide in love, you abide in God. And if you abide in God, you abide in love. Loving one another is abiding in Him. Every step out of the love of God is a step outside of abiding in Christ, disqualifying me from being in a position to bear fruit. So that's a tall order. It's not a tall order if you make a commitment to do it every day. It's a tall order if you think over the next 50 years or 30 years or 20 years, but just the rest of today, keep this tongue from speaking evil. 1 Peter 3, that your lips speak no guile. Evil speaking is discussing faults and failures of people not present. Well, I'll just throw my tongue away. I don't need it now. Let me share with you in closing how God helped me to deal with this. I found myself in conversations that were unprofitable, spouting off opinions that, though I may hold those same opinions, God began to deal with my heart. He said, son, your opinion doesn't matter. The fact of it is, no one cares about my opinion or yours either. They really don't. They shouldn't. They should care about what the Word says. And he said, son, and here's how he taught me. I've placed you into my garden as a servant. I've given you a row to work. And you work that row. That's what I'll judge you on. That's what I'll hold you accountable to. And the minute you pick your head up out of what I've asked you to do and you go into another row and judge another servant, you have stepped into a level of pride that is so exceeding, because you have concluded that your work is done and you can go into another man or woman's row and judge them. And so it pierced my heart. You know, a lot of the opinions I might still hold, but I'm too close to heaven to waste my time talking about them. I refuse to let the ground of my heart be tainted by judging another man's servant. I'm not going to do it. And if I slip into it, I will repent and ask God to forgive me and anyone I've done it to. Why? Because keeping my heart right with God has got to be paramount in my life. And a heart kept for God. Remember what he said? He said that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth, looking for someone whose heart is upright toward him, in order that he might show himself strong on their behalf. My prayer, and I mean this from the depths of my being, is that he doesn't have to look any further than you. If you're watching this broadcast, that he doesn't have to look any further than your life to show himself strong. I want for myself and for you and every person who names the name of Christ to be able to live their lives for God in such a way is that their hearts are kept good ground, so that in John 15:7, they're abiding in the love of God. They're walking out the love of God. They're letting the love of God permeate their life. God's Word is remaining in the good ground of their heart. They're asking what they will. It is done unto them, and they are bearing great fruit in God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you honor. We give you praise. Lord, I thank you that we can live our lives in such a way as to honor the King of glory. Lord, these days on this earth are so few. It's not going to be many days hence when we will stand in your presence. If the Lord should return, if Jesus should come, it could be moments that all of us will stand and give an account for how we stewarded our lives. Lord, let it be said that today we commit and consecrate to letting our lives reflect pleasing you. That we'll not let thoughts rest in our mind that aren't pleasing to you. We'll not let words proceed out of our mouth that are displeasing to you. That there'll be no actions or deeds that we do that would bring displeasure to you. That the meditation of our heart, the words of our mouth, the thoughts of our life, the actions of our deeds will be pleasing in your sight. Lord, if we make this daily commitment and by your grace you enable us to stand, we will be able to have a life of fruitfulness, so much so that our own needs will certainly be met, but then others will be able to lodge under the shadow of that growth, and many will be blessed because of the fruitfulness of your people. I pray for your people individually, Lord, that they would be greatly, in great measure, fruitful this year. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, growing in great fruitfulness in every corner of their existence. And Lord, I pray that hearts will be open and broken before you this morning as we stand before the God with whom we have to do. And we lay our lives bare before you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you first would be here this morning and say, Pastor John, I don't know if I died right now, if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. Dear heart, listen, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you don't have to go to hell when you die. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, if you died right now, you don't know if you go to heaven or if you go to hell. It's so wonderful to know Christ. Intimacy with God is at the doorstep for you. Forgiveness. A relationship with the God of all creation because of what Christ did for you. If you don't know Jesus this morning as your Savior and Lord, that is, if you died right now, you don't know if you go to heaven or if you go to hell. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd like to be included in that prayer, I'll pray with you right where you're seated. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'll ask the whole church to pray a prayer out loud and together with you. Simply raise your hand right where you're seated, and I will include you in that prayer to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Please don't leave here without knowing that Jesus is your Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Well, praise God, I'll take it. Everybody knows Jesus. We're going to be dismissed in a moment. Let me...